Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence, a man who enjoyed a retirement lengthened four-day weekend is back. He gets a four-day weekend and a four-day work week. Or no, a three-day work week and then a three-day weekend, then a four-day work week.
Forgive me, you look like a homeless person today.
This is my flannel shirt, gray T-shirt, faded jeans look.
We look like somebody who's been described as the hold-up man at a convenience store.
Thank you. He's wearing faded jeans and a dark T-shirt and
a ski
mask.
I mean, you're always so nattily attired, and now today, this is quite unacceptable.
Well, we got a work party up here today. We're doing some work. We're going to put up the rest of the decorations. And so we got to dress down a little bit into blue jeans, and let's see.
Well, I'm wearing jeans, too. So I'm not.
I got to change some stuff in my office and take some stuff out to the dumpster. And so we get to dress down a little if you participate in the work, and then maybe we'll have pizza at lunch.
Oh, well, that sounds like a plan.
Yes. See, there's an upside to this.
There is. So did you get your deer?
No.
No, of course not.
I haven't talked to you since then. Oh, I talked to you last week.
Last week, but
Thursday.
You have done some hunting since then.
Oh, no, I did not get a deer. I saw one. I saw two male deers. But killed neither. The people in our group, some of the men and women in our group, got deer, so they're doing better.
I believe it's deer. Five deer,
okay,
not five
yeah.
deers.
Okay, well, they got them.
Let me help you out as much as I can. I know this is difficult for
you. We shot two buck and a doe, so.
Oh, you did?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
Them. That would be illegal to shoot two buck.
Well, that's true. Isn't it illegal to shoot the doe if it's buck season?
No, it's doe season. It's concurrent for a week or so.
So whatever is moving, you can blast.
If it's brown, it's down. That's the. But you have to have a tag for it. If you think it's a buck, it has to be, you know, there's antler restrictions. If it's a doe, you probably want to shoot a larger one rather than a tiny one. And you don't want to shoot a button buck, so you got to look carefully.
What is a button buck?
A yearling buck that doesn't have antlers yet.
Okay. Well, how do you know?
His little bumps on his head, they're called buttons.
I see. Okay.
So they're not yet antlers.
We used to have an elf named Buttons.
Not the same one.
Well, not the same one, okay.
Now, those were named over the things that kept his red jacket closed in the front. He had white buttons, and I imagine that's why he's got
buttons
them.
Buttons the elf.
As opposed
Whatever
to
did he pass away?
Yeah, I think he retired.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah.
But, of course, Red Buttons, of course, the famous comedian.
Oh, yes. Well, he did die.
Okay. So he has passed on. So those are the sum total of the buttons that I know
that you're aware of, right?
We are glad to say that Rob Center is enjoying a leisurely week off. He got to listen and watch the Steelers on TV and stay up as late as he wanted to on Sunday night.
Ooh, that was bad.
That was a bad loss.
Oh,
okay.
Bad, bad.
And then he got to stay up as late as he wanted to last night to watch his favorite Eagles win their game. Against somebody, Redskins maybe?
Redskins, yes.
Okay. And so Rob has the week off. All of this leads to the fact that Chad Hershberger's on the other side of the glass. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning, Chad.
Good morning, Joe.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
You look good.
Thank you.
Something different? Different haircut?
No.
No glasses? You don't wear glasses, so?
No. I have my contacts in.
You must be happy.
It's the holiday season.
Oh, it's
I'm
the
I'm wearing my Penn State holiday sweatshirt.
I see that.
Yeah.
Penn State plus a lot of Christmas trees. You can't see it, Joe, but it looks very festive.
Believe me, I'm having enough trouble looking at you looking like a homeless person.
I'm a handyman today. This is my handyman outfit. I even have a thick belt that'll hold my tool belt when I clip it on there. Yep.
Yeah. Tool time.
Your favorite part of the Christmas holiday season?
Oh, that's hard. I really enjoy watching it through my kids' eyes now that they're young.
Okay.
So,
you have two children.
You were talking about, I do. My daughter will be, she's 8, she'll be 9 at the end of the month. My son is 5. And they are, you were talking about Buttons the Elf. We have Elfie at home, the elf on the shelf that comes to visit us every night.
Mm.
And so every morning they're up before dawn trying to find where Elfie is.
Oh, that's irritating.
You know, he goes back. He leaves our house at night to go report to Santa, and then he comes back. And he always hides in a different place every day.
Oh, but you got to try to find him.
Yeah, they have to
well,
try to find him.
Well, that is exciting. So. What a wonderful Christmas tradition.
It is fun. I'm not enjoying that the children are up bright and bright and early in the morning. But.
Well, I sent you an email that would encourage you to get up earlier than them. So
I
saw
that.
You reply to that at your
dates.
Leisure. Opportunities. Chad is my wonderful substitute when I get to take a day off. So I sent him more opportunities, we'll call them, to get up super early. Or as we refer to it around here, super dumb early. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to call the toll-free line. And please also patronize the sponsors of the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. And they are the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you are a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message, or you can start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, it won't work, but what you can do is sign up at wkok.com. We send you a dozen messages a month or so, important information, breaking local or national or global news, tornadic weather that's coming our way, or major roads that get closed around here. That's what we use Text Connect for, and so we would invite you to Text Connect us. We use it to send your critical important information, but you can use it to send us your opinion. So we would just love to hear from you in that regard. So give us a buzz.
EB has an opinion, as usual, to start us off.
Absolutely.
You two are talking rhapsodically about the marvels of the Christmas holiday, but here's another view. He says, I just wanted to be the first to wish On the Mark and all its Trump-loving listeners happy holidays. That's right. I said happy holidays. I know the Trumpkins like to think that the war on Christmas is over and that Donald Trump brought Christmas back. You're all wrong. We're going to ramp up the war on Christmas more than ever. As the owner of a well-known local business, I have instructed my employees that they are to wish all of our customers happy holidays. They may say nothing else. The decorated tree in my business is clearly labeled a holiday tree. Even better, I've convinced several other local business owners to do the same thing, and there's nothing dear leader can do about it. Happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays. But notice EB does not provide us the name of that well-known local business so that we could festively reciprocate his happy holidays.
Right, you want to visit that business, right?
Well, we could start a boycott.
Oh, come on now. Why would I thought you said you don't like people taking out their personal opinions.
I don't. But, I mean, this is kind of an in-your-face thing, don't you think? You know, I'm to heck with Merry Christmas, I'm saying Happy Holidays. Well, why would you care? I mean, I can understand you saying Happy Holidays because you want to be inclusive, but does that mean you have to denigrate Merry Christmas? Couldn't you say both?
Nobody's denigrating Merry Christmas.
Could you say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah?
That would
happy
be a little
Kwanzaa?
Cumbersome.
Well, I mean, if you're going to honor one, why not honor them all?
Well, Kwanzaa doesn't have the equivalency of Hanukkah or Christmas.
Kwanzaa's kind of made up, isn't it? I mean, that's not...
Well, it's not made up. I guess it has actual roots.
Okay.
But it isn't a faith-based celebration of
Festivus?
A major milestone.
What about Festivus?
That's a Festivus for the rest of us.
Right.
That I can get behind.
Feats of strength, airing of grievances. I mean, that's really a holiday.
Is that not what On the Mark is all about, though?
Airing of grievances? Yes. But we don't have feats of strength here.
Not yet, but we could.
Except that you are able to lift your coffee cup up to your mouth.
And it's a heavy one.
And I my soft drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a big ceramic mug from Susquehanna University they gave
me. I think EB is certainly entitled to wish everybody happy holidays, and if people don't mind that, I don't find it offensive.
I wish I knew what the business is. I would shop there.
You would?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I would stand outside with a sign.
Says what? Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, that's your prerogative.
Please wish EB Merry Christmas for me.
Well, I'm sure EB would appreciate it. Don't you think?
Well, maybe, maybe not. He thinks that anybody apparently who wishes you Merry Christmas is a Trumpster.
So are we going to hear more about this? Are you and Sean Hannity going to keep on railing on about this mythical war on Christmas?
I didn't bring this up.
No,
this,
but I'm asking.
I haven't said a word about the war on Christmas.
I didn't say you brought it up. I'm going to ask you if you're going to keep doing it. Not if you did it in the past. I'm asking if you're going to keep doing it.
Well, as long as if I see a sense that it's being denigrated, that the holiday is being run down for no good reason, yes, and if we tend to lose sight.
What's a good reason to denigrate the holidays?
There is none.
Okay. Well, all right, that sounds good.
But I was sorry to see an article. I was looking to see if I could find it here. A satanic group in California had ornaments stolen off their satanic Christmas tree. After a public decorating event, the Satanic Bay Area group, while not surprised, said it was disappointed that a significant amount of their decorations, which included pentagrams and inverted crosses, were stolen from San Jose's annual Christmas in the Park tree decorating event. So apparently they've allowed everybody in, even atheists to have or Satanists to have a Satan's Christmas tree. He says, I don't want to make it sound like we feel put upon or persecuted, but it's a little disappointing, especially for some folks who lost things they were particularly proud of. According to Walker, the satanic group's tree was met with mostly positive responses, ranging from hilarious to baffled to amused. Walker suggested those interested in the decorations should inquire about them rather than stealing them off the tree. So I don't see, I mean, the spirit of Christmas, I would like to think if you use it in that term, it is a time of giving, a time for reflection, a time for love, and all those wonderful things.
So why all that stuff.
All that stuff. So why would anybody want to not say Merry Christmas?
Everybody should say Merry Christmas. I mean, if they feel it and they're interested or they know the person to whom they're saying it is going to receive it and enjoy it.
Well, I've had many Jewish friends over the years, including the guy who was best man at my wedding and my lifelong best friend for a long time, and he always wished me Merry Christmas, and I wished him Happy Hanukkah. I didn't think he was downplaying my holiday, nor I his. So.
Well, I think the I think you're struggling here to get this going because it is a mythical war on Christmas. It's not real. It's made up by Fox News. Nobody is interested in anything that has trying
well,
to do anything.
What do you think about EB here? Isn't he? He said he's ramping up the war on Christmas.
Well, that's his prerogative.
Here is a self-admitted warrior against the holiday.
I don't think so. I think he's just choosing to say what he thinks maybe will fall on more welcome ears for some of his individual customers if they don't like Christmas. We would love you to weigh in on this. Of course, I argue every year that it's a mythical war on Christmas made up by Roger Ailes, and Fox is kind enough to keep it going now that Roger is gone.
I haven't seen a single story on Fox this year about the war on Christmas.
Well, they keep it
now,
going
now, the opinion
annually.
Programs may have had something. I don't know. I don't watch Sean Hannity, and I don't watch Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, this is EB's the only person that I've heard perpetuate it yet this year. I haven't heard anyone else.
Okay.
Tom from Shamokin, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark. Tom? Are you there? There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can now. I couldn't earlier.
Okay. The satanic group in San Francisco, I thought they'd be celebrating because isn't that part of their culture to, for Satan to do wrong?
To steal. That's true. I didn't think about it. That's a great point.
And reward. They should be giving a reward to whoever did that because they're just practicing what they preach.
Yes, it's the celebrating or the airing of grievances and the stealing.
Yes, whatever it is, it should work in their favor. But and then the last comment, the guy with the happy holidays practice. They just say bah humbug to him.
I don't think he'd care.
Well, say it again.
Okay,
he's
I'll join you.
Saying happy holidays, I'll keep saying bah humbug.
Bah humbug. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you all the way on that one.
Okay, good
hey,
day, Joe.
Thanks, Tom. Take
hey,
care.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks You're for welcome. Calling in. We'll take more comers. We'll take a quick break, but when we return, we'd love to have you on the phone. All the four lines are wide open. We're talking about the mythical war on Christmas. EB's a letter that says if you go into his business, his clerks will only say happy holidays, and his Christmas tree is mislabeled a holiday tree. So we would just love to hear from you on these topics. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Your mind must be full of names and dates and strange memories. Beetlebum?
Beetlebum. You don't remember Beetlebum? No, that was a joke. The old Jack Benny joke about horses and the winner is Beetlebum. You don't remember that?
No.
No, well, you know, you're a kid. What can I tell you?
Yesterday we did talk about the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, and it's pretty clear that it's him pushing her
into all the ridiculous nonsense.
Into intimate contact that she's not interested in. Stop
and think a minute. That song was written during a very innocent period. And you know, what really gets me is you hear these people, and I don't think they're conservatives. I won't say they're liberals because Stan always gets upset when I say I know what liberals are thinking. But the people who oppose this song seem to be from the left. Am I right or wrong in that?
Well, actually, I haven't heard any. See, this is a funny thing. This story has momentum based on nothing. It's radio stations listening to it, hyper-analyzing it, and not playing it. None of them, both stories, one in L.A. and then one yesterday, I think, in Ohio, neither responding to any complaints, both listening to the lyrics themselves.
But there have been complaints. I mean, this has been around before.
That's not what's driving this time or this conversation.
Well, you know, are these same people outraged about rap music where they refer to women in very unflattering terms?
Well, they probably don't play those songs either on these radio stations. These are kind of mainstream stations.
All right. Well, you know, to ban Baby, It's Cold Outside, I could understand banning a song. What was that song years ago?
They're not banning it. They're just not playing it.
Life in the Fast Lane. Do you remember that song?
By the Eagles?
By the Eagles.
Sure.
The lyrics, when been up and down this highway, haven't seen a blank, blank thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of radio stations banned that, including ours. And I remember fighting with the program director at the time. He wanted, well, we got to play that. You know, what does matter? Well, it's taking the Lord's name in vain. And it's predictably offensive to many people. And I said, no, we're not going to play that. There's a cleaned-up version of it. Play the cleaned-up version of it.
What's the cleaned-up version say?
Said, been up and down the highway, haven't seen a blessed thing or a single thing or something like that. Which you could easily work in there instead of taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, I can understand songs like that being offensive to people.
And it didn't particularly necessarily phenomenally bother you. It's just that you could predict that other people would be bothered by it, right?
Right. And, you know, why offend somebody if you don't have to? You know, in this business, unlike EB, you have two choices. You make friends or you make enemies. I'd rather make friends. You know, why have five or six people that I have to sit and listen to complaints about it when I agree with them that the song would be offensive to people who are people of faith?
Well, you always say into the microphone, well, people should lighten up. You know, whenever we talk about political correctness,
they
people should lighten up.
But if I use that term here on the air, your hand would be on the dump button immediately. You would stop me from here ever. Nobody would ever hear me say that.
Well, we've had some offensive things that we've let go through here.
Well, that's only because you were asleep over there.
Oh, well, no, I don't think so.
I remember one day I had to reach across and press the button for you. But still, I mean, anyway. You know what's offensive. You know, we are more permissive now than we were a few years ago. There are things, I mean, you can say damn and hell on the air when you couldn't say them years ago, and that's no big deal. If you watch television shows, I mean, I've heard some pretty rough language on TV shows on the commercial networks. You know, so then to become offended by the song Baby, It's Cold Outside, and now an all-male a cappella group at Princeton University announced Friday it would temporarily scrap a Little Mermaid song from its set over concerns about consent and misogyny.
Walt Disney misogyny? Come on. Wesley Brown, a senior and president of the Tiger Tones, wrote in a letter to the Daily Princetonian the band will try to rework the performance for the song Kiss the Girl, which was written for the animated Disney movie. During the group's performance, the singers would call up a man and woman from the audience. The two audience members would dance, and then the singers would encourage one audience member to kiss the other on the cheek, Brown wrote. In the last few years, we've taken intentional steps toward ensuring that audience participation is more voluntary and consensual. These steps have clearly not succeeded in guaranteeing total comfort for both participants in obtaining continual consent. Performances of this song have made participants uncomfortable and offended audience members, an outcome which is antithetical to our group's mission and one that we deeply regret. Well, who said you had to call two people up on the stage and get them to kiss to sing the song?
Is the offensive material in the lyrics without the little add-on play?
Huh?
Are the lyrics offensive in and of themselves?
Well, the concerns about consent and misogyny, I would say that they think they are.
Okay.
I was looking to see if there were specific mentions. Noah Wallstein, who wrote the op-ed, said the song is more misogynistic and dismissive of consent than cute. She told the New York Times that while she's never been called up for a Tiger Tones rendition of Kiss the Girl, she's seen the performances and it made her and others feel uncomfortable. I would technically like to see it taken out, period, but if they're willing to work on it and get it in a place where it's not offensive, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the lyrics. Down here all the fish are happy, meaning under the water, as off to the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy. They sad because they in their bowl, but fish in the bowl is lucky. They in for a worser fate. One day when the boss gets hungry, guess who's going to be on the plate? Under the sea, nobody beat us, fry us into a fricassee.
You sure you're reading the lyrics to Kiss the Girl?
Oh.
You're reading the wrong song.
Oh, am I? Under the Sea.
That's
oh,
Under
I
the
see.
Sea.
Right, I got you. Okay, well, no wonder I don't find anything offensive in them. Frank, get me out of here, please. You're on the mark.
Wow. I didn't know you had a mute button to dump people when they say bad things. I guess maybe I should have been muted or censored or something.
You probably were. Still could be.
Probably wasn't. I didn't know it.
I might do it now just to exercise. I might do it now just to exercise.
All right. Feel free. That's 20 to 1 Christmas, but actually now I totally switched my subject and thought process. Words. I've been a musician since I was a teenager, performing in what would be high school band as one of the popular rock bands in Shamokin. And in that timeline, we did listen to songs, and yeah, the reference to the Eagles song, Travel Down the Highway, Haven't Seen a Blessed Thing. Yeah, I remember getting to those lyrics and thinking, no, we can't sing those. And there was a certain level of what would be acceptable in that time, but it was very interesting. Later, a decade and a half later, Prince comes on the scene, and we're doing copy tunes of his. His lyrics are so sexually tainted, you got to go, wait a minute. And we never even really thought about it because the songs are so popular. Rap music is extremely offensive in its lyrics, but that's what culture had got used to. When you're talking about the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, I'm almost like spitting up my coffee, going, really, really, that song? And there's so many offensive lyrics in Kiss the Girl by Katy Perry that, you know, it's very interesting, and I liked it. Those things, I remember moms wouldn't let their daughters listen or purchase or buy anything by Katy Perry musically, but the kids are sitting there listening with their iPods in. All right, so now the switch to War on Music. All right, so as far as the music part is, you know, wow, that's still freedom of speech and minute to write as you please. War on Christmas. I do remember back Fox News was making it a really pivotal point to bring up that war every year. And I remember the morning show was Gretchen. She was a host. And she really was like the drummer and pounded that every morning. And it was really offensive. And I kind of go, here's my spiritual, biblical point. It's all a pagan holiday. Jesus wasn't even born that timeline, but it's a fulfillment of prophecy. you know, I don't care to put up all the, you know, pretty things and, you know, dad, mom, or, yeah, there's Christmas, but we never really latched on to the Santa Claus, reindeer, and all that stuff. It was meaningful to celebrate the Savior's birth. But I can see where people take offense. I could take offense to all the snowmen and the Yeti and Kris Kringle and, you know, all that stuff, because I don't really embrace that part of it. So, very interesting. If you look at the history of Christmas, it really is a pagan holiday, the 25th. And people don't want to acknowledge that, but, you know, Santa Claus is going to land on the roof and down the chimney. Your kid's going to believe that. And then somewhere the kid figures it out. Oh, mom and dad, really, really.
We've intermingled the religious with the commercial to such an extent that it's hard to identify it as a specific holiday. I mean, is Christmas celebrating the birth of Jesus, or is it celebrating a fat guy coming down the chimney with a bag of toys?
Yeah, yeah. I never bought the fat man coming down the chimney with toys. I was too logical even as a young kid. So, oh well. That war kind of disappeared.
Well, you should listen to Talk to Santa tonight, and then you'll get that magic and mystery back again.
All right. I just like the trains. All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Well, we're going to return with open phones, and we would invite you to call us. We're talking about Christmas traditions that are offensive to many and offensive song lyrics. And we have an email and a text that relates to this, so we'll read that on the air. We'll continue on The Mark. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is back after a long weekend, 4 days of R&R. And boy, he looks marvelous. He's looking wonderful. So we appreciate him coming in.
You still look like a bum.
Right. Sorry. Yeah, no change there. I'm wearing an old flannel shirt and a gray T-shirt and beat-up jeans. And I've got my tool belt on. So pretty soon we'll hook on the hammer and we'll be good to go. We're going to do some work around the building here, put up the rest of the Christmas decorations, haul some files to the basement, and change some light bulbs for the rest of the staff. And so I get to dress down.
You're a handyman.
And then we enjoy pizza. Have I mentioned the pizza?
You have mentioned the pizza.
On the Mark, sponsor for the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is wide open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and, of course, you can find them at Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We invite you to call us. Mr. Chad Hirschberger is standing by. He's our fabulous producer, so we appreciate all his hard work.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning again, sir. Thanks for
good
being
morning.
There.
Glad to be here.
We're talking about offensive lyrics to songs so that you probably hear in your house from time to time. Your daughter's eight, right? Did you say eight?
Yes. She's going to be eight. Nine in 25 days.
So one of the lyrics is from The Mermaid called Kiss the Girl, Ariel, right? Am I blending my movies here?
You now have the right song. You read the lyrics to me earlier. Were reading the wrong song.
Okay, we got the right song.
You got this right now.
Yeah, the lyrics on face value are they do sound offensive.
Well, do you want to do the headlines before we launch into this?
Good point. Thank you.
Because I make a point, then you'll cut me off and say I have to do the headlines.
All right, good point. Well, only until you start to win the point, the moment, and then I'll stop you.
Okay.
All right, we'll start out with a new University of Pennsylvania study has discovered that marijuana's reputation as being a gateway to heavier, more dangerous drugs, and as we always have argued on this show, unsuccessfully in Joe's mind, but successfully in the mind of individuals with greater common sense, that reputation is inaccurate. Our correspondent Tori Gates has that story.
Researchers followed nearly 410 to 12-year-olds over a period of 5 years using questionnaires and urine tests to determine drug use and behavior. Analysis finds no relationship between marijuana use and seeking out those who use the drug, plus no relationship to issues of conduct. Instead, the study found it is behavioral problems which predict marijuana use. Researcher Dan Romer says it is possible troubled kids are using marijuana as a form of self-medication. He adds, however, the drug can cause dependency. Researchers will need to determine how it relates to depression and other mental health diagnoses. Tory Gates, News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
WKOK News Time. It is now 9:09. Tragedy in Point Township last night. We told you last night the road was closed while police investigated a fatal pedestrian accident. Today, the county coroner says the man who died is 76-year-old George Schindler of Point Township, dead at the scene last night, struck by a vehicle about 6:30 p.m. He's wearing dark clothing, crossing Route 11. Should authorities be able to deny handgun licenses because you've issued some hateful tweets? A New York lawmaker is raising the question with a bill that would require police to scrutinize the social media activity and online searches of handgun license applicants and disqualify those who have published violent or hateful posts. State Senator Kevin Parker says he hopes his proposal sparks discussion about how to balance public safety and online privacy. The Brooklyn Democrat noted that mass killers often provide warning signs through their social media, as in the case of the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting suspect who ranted online that Jews were children of Satan. Quote, it's a new time, it's a new technology, unquote, Parker said, saying that it's time that we, in fact, start having that conversation about how we monitor social media in a way that can create safety for our communities. Free speech watchdogs and even some gun control advocates have raised concerns about the bill, which would require handgun applicants to turn over login information to allow investigators to look at 3 years' worth of Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram postings. Google, Yahoo, and Bing searches over the previous year would also be checked to see what you've looked at. So what do you think about that?
I think Big Brother is here.
Yeah, how about that? That's pretty interesting. That's a big free speech dilemma.
Well, it is. I mean, you have the freedom to post it, but should what you post be taken into consideration when you apply for something like a gun?
Well, and we already know that what you post on social media is a factor in the red flag laws that have been already enacted around the country. Now, we talked about the potentiality for maybe enacting more as one of the potential common sense measures that would possibly make us safer. And they do use not just any posting. Like if you went on Facebook one time and said, I'm going to kill the driver who was in the other lane. If I ever see him again, I'm going to shoot him. You know, not that, but if you have a pattern of potentially violent threats or things that if they were brought out into the open, you could be convicted of a hate crime. Those are
okay, but
elements
is,
against you, but not
tough,
conviction.
Tough line to draw. For example, suppose I quote Adolf Hitler. Does that make me a purveyor of hate speech? Or if I put something down like some people say, Jews are the children of Satan and should be eliminated, which
well,
is what this guy said. But if I'm quoting somebody, I mean, how...
Well, the key phrase would be, I'm going to.
So, in other words, if you just post hateful things, but you're quoting someone else, that wouldn't qualify, even though you were doing it to mask your own hateful behavior.
Or, well, maybe, though, the you know, farther up the scale would be if you said, I would like to, or someday I'd like to, or I think it would be appropriate if someone else, you know, dot, 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 and then, you know, said shot people who are strikingly handsome or
something. Look at how we've changed over the years. It used to be, you know, when you went to the police and you said, Mark Lawrence says he's going to cut my head off. They said, well, you know, until he does something, we can't do anything about
until
it.
Until he does it.
You know, until he actually does it, no crime's been committed. But then we created a law that says making terroristic threats is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're saying you're going to cut off my head, I can have you arrested for making a terroristic threat. But, I mean, at some point, free speech enters into that. And just the fact that I say it doesn't mean I'm actually going to cut your head off. I might just be angry at you at the moment. But should that keep me from having a gun?
Well, maybe it could be a factor in determining your stability, I guess, or your propensity to commit violence. Yeah, I think it's a good question. I certainly would side on the side of privacy, and I would hate to deny anybody an opportunity to get a gun because they use hateful speech on a regular basis. I mean, if you say that, you know, you hate people that are, you know, have a cowlick on the top of their head every time you see them, each and every individual has that cowlick, you don't like them.
You have something against Bill Haley?
he had a cowlick.
Oh, he's dead now, but he had a cowlick.
All right, but... what I was trying to do was to pick somebody who didn't exist,
okay.
But I guess that didn't work out. So, but if you say that repeatedly, so you have a pattern of hateful remarks, but there's no indication that you have any interest in acting on
that.
Okay,
that's the key. You've hit it right on the head. I agree, that's the key.
Do you want to act on it?
I may have posted terrible things, but if you say, okay, this is a red flag, he's posted some pretty hateful stuff. And you go to my neighbors and you say, your next-door neighbor there, he's posted some pretty hateful stuff about people of a color or people of a certain religion. What can you tell me about him? Well, he's a fine man. We're of that faith, and he helps us out, and he mows our lawn when we're sick, or you know, so that my actions don't meet my words. I'm allowed to be a hateful thinker, aren't I not? Am I not? As long as I'm not a hateful doer.
Oh, yeah, well said. So that's the key, and I think privacy protects you. But on the other hand, in today's day and age, we want to try to see if we can indicate, I guess because the through line for some mass shooters is their social media posts belie what they were going to do. So now, I think it's difficult to turn that around, sort of preemptory. Well, there was a movie once where big government would know what you were going to do, crime movie.
My son would know the name of that
movie. I know, and plus he would know who's in it and how many stars it was.
That's right.
So he's got instant recall of every film
I've
ever made.
I've seen that movie, too, but I can't...
Yeah, me too. Tom Cruise is in it,
yeah,
and he's on the run because the government detected that he was going to commit a crime, so they stop you before so because they read your mind and they know that you're going to commit a crime. But in any event, I think that's what this is. They're trying to read what your intent is, and I think that's a slippery slope that would be unsustainable. But some places, we had this headline a couple of weeks ago, maybe within the past week, that some place is looking at social media just as a possible indicator. I'll look that up in a little bit.
Well, right. I think it is certainly a factor, but I don't think it should be the determining factor.
Right, a factor. Yeah, that's a good point. More evidence. It's just potential evidence, but whether it becomes something that could convict somebody or could be the veto element for them getting a handgun, that should be. All right, or that shouldn't be. All right, so yeah, free speech versus your social media and handgun permits, that's one other thing. But finally, in the news, with a week commemorating the death of former President George H.W. Bush due to climax with a memorial service tomorrow at the Washington National Cathedral, the national media has almost inevitably focused on the contrast between his era and the present day. Even without President Donald Trump giving fresh fuel to those comparisons, they led to at least one angry television confrontation Monday on ABC's The View. TV networks marked Bush's passing late Friday with reminiscences and coverage of Bush's body being flown Monday from Texas to Washington, D.C. The top broadcasters and cable news networks will cover the tomorrow morning ceremony live with Bush's son, former President George W. Bush, delivering one of the eulogies. A funeral service will take place Thursday in Houston before Bush's body is laid to rest. Like when parents die, giving rise to remembrances among their families, the death of a president is one for our country to reflect on the world and where the president was in office between 1989 and 1993. In Bush's case, says Frank Cessna, a former CNN Washington Bureau
chief.
What
about The View? You started to talk about
That's not actually in there. They just say they had an argument comparing, what a gentleman Bush was compared to what a cad Trump is. But it doesn't go on to elaborate any further on that. But suffice to say, it could easy to see how you could argue, you know, if we want to give these kind of honors to presidents, of course, George H.W. Bush deserves it. And I think history is always pretty kind to presidents overall, though George H.W. never really enjoyed, you know, like Richard Nixon became beloved again. I'm not sure that George H.W. really got that same kind of warm feelings afterward. But nonetheless, President Trump and George H.W. Bush are different people, so I guess you would expect them to act pretty differently. One's a gentleman, and
well,
the other one's the president.
There was a good story by Howard Kurtz, who is a conservative journalist, and he writes for Fox, among others. He wrote a story this morning called Media Elevate Bush in Death, Using His Passing to Denigrate Trump. And his point was, you know, and we're now all saying such wonderful things about George Bush, George H.W. Bush, and he deserves them. But that's not what we said about him when he was president, and that's not what we said about him, you know, for later years in his life. We made fun of him. We mocked him. Saturday Night Live, Dana Carvey turned making a mockery of him into
Do they not mock every president? I mean, he's not special
in that
regard.
Well, they didn't mock Barack Obama very much on Saturday Night Live. But,
well,
I mean,
he's
a
Democrat.
They made fun of President Bush. And, you know, people, there was the encounter where he looked out of touch with a scanner at a grocery store, and he wasn't quite sure what the price of a loaf of bread was.
Well, that's a kind of a quirky thing. I think that's newsworthy.
You do, do you?
I don't know what the price of a loaf of bread is.
Well, you haven't obviously haven't bought one for a while.
Not for me, anyway.
You can buy a pack of hamburger rolls for a buck if you're lucky.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, well, that's cheap. That must be on sale, though, right?
No, that's not a that's a house brand.
Oh, what's it called?
Hot dog rolls or hamburger rolls.
Okay.
Depends on the grocery store. Wise has them. Giant has them. They're house store brand. They're usually about a buck for a pack of
them. Oh, really? Well, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
how
so
much is a gallon of milk? $3-4
No, a gallon of milk's about $2.95, $3
Well, that's
somewhere
not,
in that neck of the woods.
That's not high enough. Should be higher.
Well, in any event.
Yeah, sorry.
I think that, you know, we have this tendency to make to make heroes of people in death whom we mocked in life, and I find that sad. I thought George H.W. Bush was a very good president when he was alive. He only lost, I think, because he made that insane pledge, read my lips, no new taxes. And
that's
then,
not why he lost.
That's a large part of it. And then he supported a tax plan that involved raising taxes to balance the budget. He did a very responsible thing. He realized that the pledge he made was unsustainable, and instead of people saying, you know, this is wonderful, you had the courage to backtrack, you know, and say, hey, circumstances have changed. I now realize I shouldn't have said that. But instead, the opponents and the other party just whipped him to death with that.
Well, and he got, of course, he was largely successful in Kuwait, but people criticized him for not having the, what should we
for
say?
For not finishing the job.
Right. For not, like our famous generals have always advocated more war. He never advocated for that and was willing to stop before we invaded Baghdad.
And he did stop.
And I think he was criticized.
That.
Yeah, I think he was criticized for that also. But also, you got to consider what you're up against. You're up against Bill Clinton, who's widely popular. So, you know, I just think it was time, and George couldn't compete. George H.W. couldn't compete
on that
stage.
Well, the economy wasn't doing really well during his administration, so it was sad. I mean, he's going to be considered to be one of our better presidents.
Yeah, better.
In history.
Not
I don't
best
think he's going to be the greatest,
greatest
we ever had.
Right.
But I think he leaves a legacy of civility and kindness and humility that would be a good yardstick for President Trump to follow.
Well, and
were
I think,
he so inclined.
And I think some of the President Trump criticism this week is very subtle. You know, it may not even be intended, but I think if you watch sort of conventional media like ABC or NBC or CBS, we definitely see it there. You just see the very subtle messages that a gentleman who's honest and is making a good effort and is maybe a more passive listener and not, you know, sort of aggressively outgoing is a better president than one who lies and it has very poor moral character, but is leading the nation, you know, more than satisfactorily in the mind of some people. You know, some people really like President Trump.
I like what he's doing. I don't care
right.
for the man personally, but
yeah, you just kind of hold your nose. It is what is it, like something that you eat with. You hold your nose and
like garlic
and enjoy it. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Chris, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark with Joe and Chad Hershberger and Mark Lawrence.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, if Bush or Clinton, I mean, if Obama or Clinton had put up red trees in the White House, I'm sure it would have been part of the war on Christmas.
Yeah. How is that a war on Christmas?
Oh, they'd find a way. Oh, it's red is the Arab color. Oh, it's it's the blood color. Oh, it's the color of Satan. Something.
Yes, Sean Hannity
I'm
would
sure.
still be railing about it.
So you know what us conservatives think, huh? You
know,
I know what
Fox would do to something about something unusual done by a Democratic president concerning Christmas. Yes, I have plenty of examples of that.
Well, go back and look at what Jackie Kennedy did at Christmas and see what kind of praise she got from both sides of the aisle.
What's that got to do with anything?
The fact that just because it's Melania
Republicans
Trump...
Republicans were fair 50 years ago, 70 years ago. Great. Wonderful.
I've said before in the program that if Trump were a Democrat, Melania Bush would be hailed as the new Jackie Kennedy.
I'm just telling you what Fox News would have done, Joe. It has nothing to do with Jackie Kennedy. But to move on to other more important things... Bush did a lot of stuff. Yesterday, John Shipman gave him a pass on the Willie Horton ad because he wouldn't sit still for it, which isn't true. He didn't denounce it or anything. He followed it up with his own ad on the revolving door, which was pretty much doing the same thing once the Willie Horton ad had laid the pathway for it. Now, the Willie Horton ad was technically put on by an independent group, but it was Roger Ailes and Lee Atwater who also made both of those ads. And one supposedly was put on by an independent group.
And how long was it
used? After it was on for a certain length of time, Bush asked them not to play it anymore. And then made his own ad with the revolving door, which pretty much covered the same territory.
Okay. How long was the ad used, if at all? It was on the air.
The ad was not used very much, but it got a lot of publicity. And the revolving door ad was used a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember the revolving door, but I remember the conversation about the Willie Horton.
It was one of the old-fashioned revolving doors in the prison, and they'd walk in, one line would walk in, and one line would walk out.
He was beneficiary of a weekend release program in Massachusetts and then went on to commit crimes while
That's
he was on release.
Right. But it was also one of the most famous racist dog whistles of all time, and maybe even Joe can hear that whistle. It was so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
no,
it's an instance where they took an individual to exemplify a broader issue, and sometimes that doesn't work real well.
Whatever that means.
What that means is that I could talk about the failure of programs that let people out of jail who are criminals who go on to commit crimes.
Oh, I thought you meant the ad didn't work very well.
No, I'm talking about personalizing it. That was the attempt. You see that same thing.
It wasn't personalizing. It was intentionally to get the black person there. Lee Atwater even admitted that. He said the only question in the ad that they had a fight about was whether Willie Horton should have a knife in his hand or not. And his name wasn't Willie anyway. But anyway, that just made him sound more black.
Okay.
So, and then one thing that Bush did do that was Trump-like was he actually pardoned all the Iran-Contra crowd. And by doing so, he got to cover up his own part in it. Wasn't that convenient?
Yeah, I remember we used to talk about George H.W. Bush being part of the Trilateral Commission and part of a global conspiracy to weaken America and blah, blah, blah.
And criticism for Bush did not come from Democrats for raising the taxes. It came from fellow Republicans. So don't blame that on the Democrats. The Democrats were happy to do it because they thought it was a good idea, and because they were right, it actually worked. It made the economy stronger.
All right, we got you. Hey, thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for calling in. Always glad to hear from you. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate
Bye.
That. 1-800-795-9565, our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. We will be right back.
A special holiday greeting from your local hometown pharmacies.
It's the holiday season in Central PA. Everyone's busy all night and all day, planning for visitors to their hometowns, prepping for parties with New Year's countdowns.
If anyone starts to feel under the weather, we have lots of things to help them feel better. With pharmacists and staff so friendly and quick, a hometown pharmacy can just do the trick.
And boroughs and towns, we're so very close by, near the river and woods. It's not a long drive. There's Bloomsburg, Lewisburg, Northumberland 2, Mifflinburg, Danville, and Mount Pleasant Mills. Ooh.
We love what we do, and we truly do care. When it comes to your health, we're always right there. You can give us a call. Better yet, stop on by. We'll have a nice talk. You can give us a try.
There's nothing quite like a hometown pharmacy where everything's the way it all used to be. Wishing everyone out there good health and good cheer for the holiday season and throughout the year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at your hometown pharmacies.
Welcome back.
Now you found the right song.
Yes. We talked about the offensive lyrics of a song, worrying, what was it, the Princeton Tigers and their rendition of it, where they...
The all-male a cappella group. They are called the Tiger Tones.
Okay. Well, here are the lyrics. There you see her sitting across the way. She don't got a lot to say, but there's something about her, and you don't know why. You're dying to try. You want to kiss the girl. Yes, you want her. Look at her. You know you do. It's possible she wants you too. There's one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl. Kiss the girl. So
that's
encourages
the part that's apparently offensive.
Right. Encourages the boy to kiss the girl, even though the woman hasn't said anything. But if you watch the movie...
Right, take the setting they're in. It's not like he's passing her on the street and they've never met.
It's a dark night. It's romantic. It's starlit. They're rowing in a rowboat. They're sitting just inches from each other, facing each other. And at some point, he tries to muster up the courage to kiss her, but he gets shy and he doesn't do it. But she puckers up and she wants to kiss, but then they don't. But they clearly like each other. They're together on the boat. They're staring at each other and they're having some romantic conversation. And so under those circumstances, it certainly is appropriate that they might want to kiss in the movies anyway.
As opposed to the Tiger Tones, who pluck two people out of the audience who may or may not know each other.
Who don't know each other.
And then sing to them to kiss the girl and encourage them to do that. And then they blame the song. Come on, blame the person.
Right, the Tiger Tones. To mess it up. So the Tiger Tones could do it if they didn't pull out random strangers. But of course, a woman could decline to do this, although maybe she doesn't know what's in store for her if she agrees to go up and play the Tiger Tones little game.
Well, I mean, for years people have gone to hypnotist programs and gone up on the stage and volunteered to be hypnotized without understanding that they're going to be made to cluck like a chicken or bark like a dog. I'm sure they used to send them around to high schools. I mean, I remember seeing one of those at my high school when I was a kid. Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't know what's going to happen when you go up there. But, I mean, there's such a thing, too, as being a good sport. If you go up on a stage and you know that they're going to sing a song, presumably there's a program called Kiss the Girl, and you go up on the stage, it's not inconceivable that you might get kissed.
Okay.
But if you don't like it...
Well, they might not tell her in advance that the goal is for the man to force her to kiss him.
Well, but still, as the song goes, why ban the song? I look back, another example I thought of in addition to the Eagles' Life in the Fast Lane was Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. There's a line in there that says, "You Catholic girls start way too late."
Mm-hmm.
The implication being the Catholic girls won't have sex as early as girls of other religious faiths.
The implication?
Faiths. Right. So, I mean, if you're going to ban a song, let's talk about changing those lyrics. Let's talk about all the rap songs where they refer to girls and women in terribly unflattering terms. I mean, where does free speech enter in? Do we always have to be so politically correct?
Well, I think if you have an opportunity to be respectful for someone, you should. But, yeah, forcing a girl to kiss somebody on a stage that she's unsuspecting, that's not right. But in the movie, they're portrayed that they're already on some sort of a romantic junket together. And he's the real bottom line in this story is that he's too shy. But, you know, it's the typical Disney, you know, she's demure and is kind of keeping herself lower than him and, you know, is batting her eyelashes and so on. So, you know, it's a...
Well, how about we ban on the street where you live? This guy's hanging around this girl's house all day long, just hoping he's going to run into her. Let's call the cops and get this guy busted at once.
Nice.
I mean, this, some of this stuff, Mark, come on. I know you're on the liberal side of things, but this is absolutely absurd.
Well, if you can be respectful, you should be. If you want to be disrespectful, then you shouldn't be. So how about that? All right, we'll take more comers. We got to take another quickie break to stay on schedule. Email-wise on this topic, one of our listeners says, good morning. I totally love that song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. Even the movie Elf has the baby song in it. Good grief. Says one of our listeners. Another one with a very minor correction to Joe, or maybe just something to think about.
No,
says,
and he's right, too, by the way. I couldn't think of where it came from.
You said Beetlebum was from a Jack Benny show, but in fact, our listener says that it was
Spike Jones. Spike Jones. It's a song Spike Jones did, and it was on the outside. It's Beetlebum.
Okay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. All four lines are open. We started talking about the mythical war on Christmas that Joe seems to say is real. EB checked in and says at his business, his tree is a holiday tree, and his people will only say happy holidays.
He says he's ramping up the war on Christmas.
Right. He's getting it started again. I say it's a mythical war, and EB is the only combatant. EB versus Sean Hannity, and those are the only people who are participating, and the rest is all made up. You call us now, if you would, please. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you. Now, that is the toll-free line that's sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, Norrie Pharmacy in beautiful downtown Northumberland, Danville Pharmacy, which is on Mill Street right next to the police station. Well, at least for now, anyway, the police are going to move. But Danville Pharmacy will probably be there for decades to come. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop is on Market Street in beautiful downtown Bloomsburg. And Lewisburg Pharmacy is on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. I give you the names of the specific locations because half of them are walking distances, and the Shade Mountain Pharmacy is too if you're walking distance away from them out on Route 35. But they are certainly centrally located in the heart of Snyder and Union County, and they would love to super serve you as only a personalized service place can do. You can see people like Terry or Tyler or Steve or Kathy or Jennifer or Brad, and they would very much like to get to know you. They don't even have those little devices where you take a number. That's how they offer personalized service. And you're not treated like a number because you ain't one. And they would just love for you to call us right now on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got a caller on the line. Good morning, Paul. You are on the mark.
Good morning. Joe, a while ago, you said that in the old days, that if you went into a police station and said that somebody was going to do something and they told you they couldn't do anything until after it has been done. So I got a hypothetical question. If, in fact, somebody walked up to you and said that you were to build an ark, that you're going to make it flood and kill all life form, would you arrest them on terroristic threats, or would you wait until he killed all the life form before you would have him arrested?
Well, under today's law, it would be making a terroristic threat. But you'd have to believe the person was actually capable of creating that kind of a flood. If I say something, if I come up to you and say, Paul, I'm God, and I'm going to create a flood, then, you know, you either want to have me committed to the mental ward, or you, if you accept the fact I'm God, then you might want to have me arrested for making a terroristic threat. But, I mean, it's a bad example, Paul. You can come up with a better one.
And I've heard Joe read the part of God in plays, and he's pretty convincing.
Well, it's one of those things that where even in today's society, the lawmakers are the only ones that can break the law and not be punished for it until they get caught.
Well, not really. You mean, are you talking about corruption?
I'm talking about anybody that embezzles or...
Right. Well, that's corruption. Embezzlement is a corruption of your good public service. Well, that's not legal.
Well, it's not legal. But how about a police officer that does 90 miles an hour to catch somebody that was speeding?
Well, they're allowed to pursue or exceed the speed limit
that's
in order to
policy,
affect their... Yeah, that's not a violation of a law.
That's a matter of policy within a police department. I mean, if you're a fleeing felon and you've just killed seven people, that policeman's entitled to go as fast as he needs to go to stop you, but he's also got to be mindful of what other public safety issues are involved and whether or not you're speeding on a backcountry road where the only thing that's likely to happen is you hit a tree, or if you're going through a downtown district where people are standing on the street corners.
Well, that may be true, but... In the old days, when I say the old days, I'm going back to the days of the pharaohs and the emperors and everything.
Well, I wasn't going back that far when I talked about
that. Although he could.
But when a law is a law, it pertains to everybody. And there is no exception to the fact that the law is broken in order to enforce it.
Okay.
So you're saying the police... should not exceed the speed limit, even if the crook is.
Okay, Joe. Many years ago,
a
policeman would pull his weapon, he would tell somebody, halt, or I'll shoot. And he gave him a warning. Today, they don't. They see what they think is a gun, and they fire and kill somebody without really knowing the weapon was real or fake.
I don't know.
You need to watch some more old movies, Paul. I mean, I've seen the cops pull their guns and start firing at people with absolutely no provocation in these old movies, other than the person ran from them or they thought the person did something.
Yeah, stop and I'll shoot is a Hollywood thing, not a real thing. Or stop or I'll shoot.
My brother was an MP in a service, and he said that they were told that they don't do anything until they give them fair warning.
Well, I think police do that whenever possible. But
whatever happened to shoot first and ask questions later?
I think, anyway, go ahead, Paul.
Well, to make a long story short, that you have a double standard. You have laws that pertain to only those that break the law. But the laws that are enforced are those people they don't really need it because they have common sense and they know what is right and what is wrong.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, another deep, imponderable.
Deep stuff, brother. Thank you, Paul.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in.
I'm sorry.
1-800-795-9565.
Now, Ben here from Lewisburg has another imponderable. This is going back to our discussion of the song Kiss the Girl. He says, why hasn't anyone considered the offensive plot of manipulation in The Little Mermaid carried out by Ariel? Here is a woman who changed her physical appearance and literally bet her life on tricking a man to kiss her on a timeline he never consented to. She used her army of aqua henchmen to force the prince to act before he felt it was appropriate. She's the Brett Kavanaugh of the sea.
Well, maybe there's a double standard. Maybe it's just an animated cartoon. I guess all cartoons are animated.
Well, you know,
maybe it's just a cartoon.
I'm waiting then for them to come back and talk about Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. You know, they were always dropping anvils on the coyote's head. He was always being blown up. You know,
why is that legal?
Well, somewhere there's common sense. You know, you realize that cartoon violence isn't real violence. Only a fool would think that you could drop an anvil on somebody's head and all they would get out of it was a little lump.
A headache.
Right.
Which is gone in the next moment.
Right. And then they're running down the street. I mean, some things defy, to accept them as real defies logic and common sense, you know, and you've just got to take things as what they are. Dramatic license. You write a play about adultery, let's say, or you write a play about murder, you know, does that mean it shouldn't be performed because it might offend somebody?
Well, in the Disney song, Kiss the Girl isn't encouraging the man in the movie to kiss a stranger that he never met. They're already on some kind of a boat jaunt together. They're sitting inches from apart, facing each other. It's a romantic night. And quite frankly, she's interested in being kissed in the movie. So
well, and now and this kind of ties into it because it's more of the absurd, the nice folks at PETA, whom one of our listeners describe as people-eating tasty animals, which I don't think is their
not.
Name.
Yeah, that's not true.
Right. They've now come up with, they want to change phrases. They don't want us to say things like, bring home the bacon anymore. They now suggest we say, bring home the bagels. And killing two birds with one stone, that's out. It now becomes feeding two birds with one scone. What if the birds don't like scones?
Oh, they will.
Flog
they
like. A dead horse becomes feed a fed horse. Okay. Let the cat out of the bag becomes spill the beans. Well, they're both acceptable. All your eggs in one basket becomes all your berries in one bowl. Mm. So I guess you can't pluck an egg out of a chicken and then eat it, but it's okay to pull a live berry off a bush and scoff that down.
When you never want to look a gift horse in the mouth anymore.
Well, this one, oh, we didn't even get to that one. What would that be, looking a gift horse in the mouth? What would we change that to? They don't have that down here, and that needs changed.
Never look a gift house out in the...
Oh, you're not very good at this. These people
no.
have obviously given a
well,
lot
yeah,
of
Well, yeah, they've been working on it all day.
Here's one. Open a can of worms becomes open Pandora's box. Be the guinea pig becomes be the test tube. And taking the bull by the horns becomes taking the flower by the thorns. What if the flower
well,
doesn't
I don't
have
think
any
the
thorns?
Or the flower's not going to like that.
No, I don't think so.
Plant their
what was
people,
that one?
Too.
I've lost it. What was that one you just came up with that needed changed?
Oh,
looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
Looking a gift...
House. In the front door.
I don't know what. Maybe one of
bad.
Our listeners can come up with something better.
Yeah, please do.
But, you know, don't you think some of this stuff gets a little out there?
Well, I think they're just trying to do precisely what you did. You fell into their little trap of ridiculosity, so you will have everybody once again considering the fine advantages of not eating any meat products. On the Mark sponsor...
You feel there are fine advantages, do you?
Well, there must be. Some folks are doing it. 1-800-795-9565. Bottom line, we're talking about the war on Christmas. We would just love for you to enlighten us about the fact that it's not real. I know that. Joe thinks it's real. It's just many people trying to become more respectful. John Shipman was here yesterday saying that it's the elites versus the middle class. So we would just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street in Sunbury and routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. On 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, just go to the Runyon Road intersection and you'll see the Sunbury Motor Company Kia dealership is there. They got wonderful vehicles. Ernie and Austin are stored over there. And then you can go to the North 4th Street location. That's where the Lincolns and the Fords and the Hyundais are kept. And boy, they would just love to see you and super serve you at the Sunbury Motor Company. They can do something nobody else can do around here, and that's super serve absolutely every single customer that comes their way. Whether they want a little tiny smart car that's pre-owned, or you want a brand new Ford pickup truck or F-350 dual axle, and you name it, it's got all kinds of accoutrements and literally everything in between. Thousands of cars available. Thousands of cars for you to look at Sunbury Motors.com, so please check it out. They're the sponsor of the On the Mark show.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
What were we talking about? All right, PETA is still people eating tasty animals, says. Shall we say who it's from? Is this signed? Well, it doesn't say, but it's Stan. He thought of that, I think. So he is always the smartest guy in the room wherever he goes. He thought of that, and it's funny. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Dan, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. You were talking about the war on Christmas. What I call it more of a war on Christianity, because Satan already lost the war on Christmas when Jesus Christ came to earth, because there's millions of people since Christ came to earth believe him as their own personal savior, and he's going to take them to heaven. So I look at these battles we're having today, if you know, so-called battles, is more to get people not to believe in a savior, so they'll end up in eternity being lost, is how I view that battle today. But as far as the war on Christmas itself, Satan lost the battle already, but he's just trying to keep more people on his side of the ledger, so to speak, in basic terms.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have anything.
Well, I don't think it's true. You know, I certainly do believe that Satan is an active force in our world, but I don't think he's driving Sean Hannity to talk about the war or Christmas or anybody else that is, you know, is saying happy holidays. I think it's just because there's more individuals in the U.S. that aren't religious, and so to say Merry Christmas doesn't, you know, doesn't capture everybody the way it used to. Not that it ever did capture everybody.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dan. Do you put up a Christmas tree?
Yes.
Aren't you intermixing the holiday then with the commercial side? I mean, there's nothing about the birth
right.
of Jesus
well,
involving a Christmas tree.
I don't have a problem with the other side, you know, of the issue. You know, I debated in my brain many years ago, did I want to celebrate the Santa side as well as the true side. I decided I would accept, just for the fun of it, the Santa side, and I realized the true side was the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yeah, right, but what I'm saying is I don't have any problem with people saying happy holidays if they, you know, if they're one of the holidays they're including is Christmas, but I don't think that's a sign of a war on Christmas. Do you?
No, I don't, because I, like I said before, the battle's been won as far as the Savior coming to Earth. If he could have been kept from coming to Earth, there wouldn't even be a reason to have a Christmas. You know, because he came as the Savior.
Well, I don't care if you say happy holidays to me, but don't expect me to say that back to you. I'm going to say Merry Christmas.
That's the way I do at all the stores.
If I know you're Jewish, I'm going to say happy Hanukkah.
Right, and I don't have a problem, Joe, with happy Hanukkah. The foundation of my belief in Christianity in the New Testament is 100% based on the Old Testament, where they did celebrate Hanukkah. The Jewish faith and the Christian faith aren't that far apart.
All right. You've taken us to the end of the line, Dan. Thanks for
calling
in.
All right, guys, you're listening to WKOK in Sunbury, Pennsylvania.
Don't expect a talent fee for that.
He does timely IDs. There's no arguing
yes,
about
he
that.
Does.
Thank you so much, Chad Hirschberger, for squeezing this into your busy morning out there running Camp Mount Luther and a lot of and taking good care of a great family.
I squeezed it in my busy morning, too.
Thank you, Joe. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you
this is WKOK Sunbury.
Dan already said that.
Oh, yeah.